Bibles, and in preparation for the sermon this morning, we're going to have a reading from Numbers and from 1 Corinthians. So the first reading is from Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23, and then 1 Corinthians 13. So Numbers 9, 15 to the end of that chapter. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out, and in place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp, even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days. The people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, and when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. And now turning to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 13. Entitled Warning Against Idolatry. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So far, our reading of God's word, and may he add his blessing to it.
That we would deal with Exodus chapter 13. In fact, I've chosen four passages from the book of Exodus for this morning, tonight, and then next Sunday morning and next Sunday evening. So four sections from the book of Exodus. And particularly relevant, I think, as we've only just commenced another year. Originally, we were talking, Craig and I, about coming here a week earlier, as it panned out, that worked out really well that I've come a week later, because we had a clear run into Queensland yesterday, which we wouldn't have had a week earlier. But this morning, Exodus 13, I want to read verses 21 and 22, although we've already touched on this in the other two readings on the content of what's here. But let me read God's word to us this morning. Exodus 13 and then verse 21. These words. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. I suspect, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that a couple of weeks ago when we farewelled 2021, that we did so with a sigh of relief. Been a year of, and the preceding years too, of very, very mixed blessings, with the droughts and the bushfires and the floods, and then COVID-19 struck. It wasn't a good year, was it? But let me be brutally honest for a moment and say to you, who says that 2022 is going to be any better? Now, I don't want to be pessimistic, because undoubtedly this year will also bring us many good things. It's going to be a mixture, isn't it? And so for some people, this year is going to be the last year of their earthly life. But in some of our families, we'll be welcoming new life, the birth of a child. For some, 2022 will be a difficult year with lots of heartaches. But for others, it's going to be a year that is filled with lots of joy and lots of laughter. For some, it's going to mean new challenges at work, new opportunities. And maybe for others of us here this morning, we're going to have to come to terms with retrenchment or unemployment. Some of us are going to find that our closest and dearest relationships will be deeply enriched. And there will be others of us who are going to find things falling apart, no matter how hard we try. So how are we going to cope with the difficulties that this year will bring us? How can we absorb the shocks without becoming cynical and bitter about it all? We might even ask this morning, how are we going to cope with the successes that this year will bring? How can we absorb the good things without becoming complacent or even unbelieving? What guarantees, what certainties do you take with you into this new year as we get back into our routines? I can imagine that the people of Israel might have asked some of those same questions as they left Egypt. Ahead of them stretched not just one year, but it would be 40 years of uncertainty. 40 years. A journey with many joys, but also a journey with much, much heartache. And yet through it all, congregation, there was this very one helpful thing that was totally reliable and utterly constant. Our Old Testament readings this morning tell us there was always this mysterious pillar of cloud and fire. You got up in the morning and there it was. You went to bed at night and it was still there. You looked up at midday and there was that cloud ahead of the people. You woke up at midnight and peeked out of the flap of your tent and there was the column of fire. And our text hammers it home to us, the constancy of it. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And then we read on through the rest of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you see it over and over and over. It made a deep impact on the psyche of the people of Israel. So that 100 years later, well, actually hundreds of years later, the psalm writer in Psalm 78 would write these words: "Then he led them with the cloud by day and all the night with the light of fire." If you're a bit like me, brothers and sisters, you'll be wondering what that cloud and that pillar actually looked like. You'll be a little bit curious. Was the cloud like one of those big thunder clouds that we get in southeast Queensland so regularly in summer? Was it so large that maybe it overshadowed the whole of the nation, thousands and thousands of people in the wilderness? And that fire, was it actually burning with some sort of flame, or was it more like a kind of a glowing sunset cloud? Well, God hasn't told us, and you can speculate and I can speculate, but the fact is we don't know. What does become obvious is that this pillar was a visible representation of the invisible God. In that cloud and in that fire, God was tangibly, visibly present with his people. And the fire and the cloud are both associated with God. They speak to us of judgment, and they speak to us of mercy. Judgment, because Scripture says God is a consuming fire. Mercy, because repeatedly in the Bible, God veils his awesome glory from us puny creatures. Later on, that same pillar of cloud and fire hover over the tabernacle. You remember that portable desert temple. As if to say, especially there in that place where religious observances are held, there God is present. If we want to understand this pillar of cloud and fire, we've got to consider this morning, congregation, the context. We read of this phenomena here in the book of Exodus. And Exodus is the book of the Old Testament where we are confronted by our God as a saving God. In that sense, Exodus is quite dramatically different from the book of Genesis. Genesis begins with creation, and then it spells out how we human beings fell from grace. We were disobedient. And that Bible book of Genesis highlights the mess that we human beings have made out of life and the repercussions of that. And Genesis ends the story with some bones in a coffin. It's as if Genesis is saying, we mess things up, folk, and we don't have the solution. Invariably, from our point of view, all we end up with in life is a box of decaying bones. But then comes Exodus, the great story of God saving his people. And Exodus offers us hope. All things are possible with God. He not only rescues Israel from Pharaoh, but he saves the firstborn from the angel of death. Pharaoh and death, they don't have the last words. God does. And so Exodus beautifully foreshadows Calvary, the saving work of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So that we this morning are offered a far, far greater hope than that of which Exodus is only a foretaste. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, we're offered real hope. Life does not end with a box of decaying bones. Not Satan and not death that have the last words. Jesus Christ does. And so in the book of Exodus, God is showing himself as a faithful God who saves his people. And it's in that context, friends, that we read of this pillar of cloud and a fire. It tells us that our God is not just a God who saves his people, as if, you know, rescuing them from Pharaoh and then putting them across the sea and then saying, now go to it, you're on your own. No, God is always there for those whom he saved, day and night, night and day. He rescues them, but he also walks with them on their desert journey. And so in the figure of this pillar of cloud and fire, we're reminded of this important truth this morning, a truth that lies at the very heart of the gospel, that God has entered into a contract with his people, a covenant beginning with Abraham. The truth of God's presence. I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And that presence is a constant reality, even here in the wilderness. God is always with them. Now under these awesome signs of fire and cloud. We hear this morning, congregation, are people who have not that long ago just celebrated Christmas again, haven't we? A reminder that for us is that we have a far more comfortable presence of God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the presence of Jesus, God is with us in as much reality as the fire and the clouds were for Israel. And Jesus has said to us, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. And so we who have just begun this brand new year, who have got that ahead of us, we need that presence with us, brothers and sisters. A presence that many of you know is spelled out in that little poem, Footprints. As we walk through 2022, there's always going to be the Lord's footsteps beside ours. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And that in those moments where there's just that one set of footsteps, it's because we're too tired and he's carrying us. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us, never leaves us, never forsakes us, not by day and not by night. It's not too hard, brothers and sisters, to see the very practical blessing that the pillar of this pillar of cloud and fire was to Israel. It's quite a few years ago that I went on overseas travel for long service leave for 4 months. Before doing that, I collected lots of brochures, lots of travel guides and all kinds of aids. And half the fun was in planning it all beforehand, as many of you have discovered, which trains we'd travel on, which bed and breakfast places we'd stop at. And we had far, far, far more information than we ever needed. But now put yourself in the sandals of the Israelites. There are no five-star motels between Egypt and Jericho. They have no RACQ roadmaps to show you where to go, and their horse and cart does not have an electronic GPS system on it. All those years through the desert, and they're not even able to follow roads, at best maybe some camel tracks. And all those years in Egypt, they've even lost some of their desert survival skills. And so God himself guides them, and he does so by means of this pillar of cloud and fire and the rest of the books of Moses, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, show us that over and over again how God does that. They took off at God's command and they camped at God's command. And so the guidance of that pillar of cloud and fire meant surviving in the desert. Far better, congregation, isn't it, than any kind of GPS? Can you imagine the typical routine as people got up in the morning? You greet your neighbor and say good morning and say, the pillar moving yet? The cloud shifted a tad, we've got to get ready. No, okay, we stay for another day. And then the excitement when you did move, you know, it's moving, let's pack and get on with it. We've got to start. God's telling us to shift on. But there's also something else, congregation, associated with that cloud of God's presence. God is guiding them, yes, but God is also protecting them. And I don't just mean protecting them from the heat of the desert sun. That's possible depending on the size of the cloud. What I mean is something far more dramatic. And you read about it in the next chapter after our text. Pharaoh decides that it's just too bad that he's losing his cheap slave labor. Talk about being thick-skinned. Think he would have learned by now, wouldn't you? But no, despite 10 plagues that devastated Egypt and losing the firstborn, he's still determined to have a go. And so he and his army pursue the Israelites. Let's get those people back to work. And in Exodus 14 verse 10 pictures the terror of the Israelites as they see the Egyptians coming after them. And Moses calms them by telling them that God will fight for them. And then notice chapter 14. Get your Bible open. Have a look at chapter 14, verse 19. What happens to that pillar? Beautiful. It moves in front of the Israelites to the back of them. So God's visible presence is now parked between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And to the Egyptians, it's a cloud of darkness. And to the Israelites, it's the light of fire. And then the climax comes in verse 24. God looks down from that pillar of fire and cloud, and he throws the enemy into confusion. He creates havoc for the Egyptians. And the upshot is victory for the Israelites. Finally, rid of Pharaoh and his army for good. God's presence not only guides, God's presence also protects. This morning I want to stress, friends, that God's methods may have changed, but the principle hasn't. You know, I didn't see when I arrived a pillar of fire or cloud over this church. I've never seen a pillar of cloud or fire over any particular church, not even Christian Reformed churches. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't stopped guiding us and stopped protecting us. The principles still hold true. God never leaves or forsakes his people. He saves them, but then he also walks with them through life. And he still leads and he still guides and he still protects those whom he has saved through the death of his son. And so this morning as we continue our journey into a new year, our guidance is assured. How? Well, let me suggest especially two ways. First of all, through his word. And here, you know, I find it interesting, friends, that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and he wrote them under the guiding hand of God. But you know how that happened? We're told over and over again that God came and spoke with Moses in the cloudy pillar. And that word that God spoke to Moses, Moses recorded for us. It's written in the first five books of the Bible, and that is still our guide for today. Secondly, God guides us through his Spirit, and I find it interesting that fire is especially a sign of the Spirit of God. Think of Pentecost, the tongues of fire appearing on those on whom the Spirit came, and God's Spirit now leads us and guides us. And so, brothers and sisters, as we face the challenges of this year, the difficulties, the awkward situations, we're guided by God's word. And his Spirit still gives us the wisdom that we need in every situation we face. Not only that, but that's our protection as well. Jesus has assured us that not even a head, a hair, can fall from our heads without our Heavenly Father's will. That's our great certainty as we go through into this new year. Whatever these coming days may bring, God guided and led Israel 40 years in the wilderness from that fiery, cloudy pillar, and he still leads us in 2022. It's one other feature of the pillar of cloud and fire that I want to highlight this morning, congregation. Remember that this pillar was there constantly. These people lived with it in all of their living and all of their loving. And so births in the family were celebrated in the shadow of that cloud. Wedding parties were held in the light of its fire. Funerals were conducted within sight of that cloudy pillar. It was there constantly, always. Always the cloud, highlighting something of the mystery of God. Always the fire, reminding us of the holiness of God. And so there was also this key feature to this pillar of cloud and fire. It resembled the awesome majesty of our God. And on certain special occasions, that glory of God shone out of that cloud in special ways. And so here was the very visible reminder that all of life is lived in the presence of a holy God. In all of the things that the Israelites did, their God was present in that cloud and in that pillar. He was watching over their family's every problem. He was watching their every struggle in their daily work. And when food became a problem, God was there providing the manna for them to eat. When they needed water, he gave it to them out of a rock. All of life lived out in the presence of a holy God. What a way to travel. What a way to live. Everything happening before the face of God. Think about it, congregation. That's a powerful incentive. An incentive to live the kind of life that pleases God. And so not only was that cloud of fire there to guide them and to protect them, it was also a challenge to them to live holy lives, because their saving God was constantly with them in that camp. In certain specific moments, I mentioned that that cloud displayed in a special way the majesty and glory of God. Later on, we read of some of the crises where that happened. In those moments, it specifically mentioned that God came to them in the cloudy pillar. One occasion was, you recall, when Aaron and Miriam challenged the authority of their brother Moses. The cloud, God came in. Let me read the verse to you from Numbers 12. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. God himself intervened in that crisis. And the upshot of it was that Miriam was struck with leprosy. Another one of those critical events was the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. We read not only of the cloud, but that the glory of the Lord appeared in that cloud. Attention was drawn at certain other key events when Israel elected 70 elders and they were appointed by God. That happened as God came down in the cloud. God himself was there appointing and equipping those men for leadership. In all of this, congregation, Israel was getting the message over and over and over. We are living our lives in the presence of God. And all the things that happen in our community are things in which our God has a vested interest. And brothers and sisters, we are living the whole of this year, 2022, before his face, 24/7, every day of this year. When we ask what that means for us, we get a ready answer from Paul in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10. So I read this morning to us. Paul speaks about the tremendous blessing that those people in the wilderness enjoyed. They were all under the cloud, says Paul. They all passed through the sea, says the apostle. They all ate the same supernatural food, says 1 Corinthians 10. And then comes the sad conclusion. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. And the result was their bodies were scattered over the desert. At that point, the Apostle Paul makes a very, very telling statement. He says, those things happened as examples to us. Those things we've been looking at this morning happened as examples to us. We this morning need to learn from Israel, who lived in the presence of God, in the cloud and in the fire. And we need to make sure this morning that we don't make the same mistakes. We too live our lives in the presence of that same God, but now in Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. And he's given us his Spirit to dwell in us and his word to guide us. And so all we do in this year, we do before his face 24/7. But the question is, what sort of impact does that have on you this morning? The book of Hebrews tells us that the problem with the Israelites that was that many of them did not believe. That was the great tragedy of Israel in all of the generation in the wilderness, living daily within the sight of the cloud and the fire and yet not believing. Isn't that staggering, congregation? With most of them, God was therefore not pleased. If you want to go into this year guided and protected by your God, then look to your Saviour Jesus and put your faith in him, not just for your forgiveness and not just for your eternal life, but for everything that happens in 2022, because we too are living our life before the face of God 24/7. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this portion of your word in the book of Exodus. Thank you for its relevance for us as we stand in these early days of 2022, a whole new year ahead of us with all its challenges, all its opportunities, but also all its difficulties and trials. Father, may we go with you and live by faith, not just trusting in Jesus only for our salvation, but trusting him also for our daily leading and guidance and protection. We pray that, Father, for your glory and for our well-being. In Jesus' name, amen.